You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. The Boston Celtics start their season tonight, and that means you're going to hear a lot of this.
Brown! Look out below!
NBC Sports Boston's Drew Carter on the call as Boston Celtics star Jaylen Brown throws down a slam dunk in the preseason. So the Celtics are going to come into the year this year. They are coming into the year with visions of an 18th championship banner in their minds. And this is legit, folks. There is a real shot. So if you think maybe you would like to start at the beginning of this year and follow the, and I'm going to say it, one team that legit could bring it home for Boston this year, we want to give you a little field guide in how to follow the Celtics. And it could be fun even if you're not a sports fan. So we're going to get you all set up to do that. And we have two people here to help us. First, Daniel Dane, who just wrote a book on the history of Boston, which includes a ton on Boston sports history, stayed with us. He's here in Studio 2. Thanks for sticking around, Dan.
Of course.
And we have Bob Ryan, Boston Globe reporter, one of the best sports historians we have in Boston. Bob, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Bob. I've been reading you since the 1970s, and my book has a page on the history of Boston Globe sports writers, and you are featured prominently. So thank you for everything you've done for Boston and for Boston sports history.
Well, that's very nice. You're a latecomer then, because I actually got started in 1968, but that's okay.
Well, I was born in 1971, so I wasn't reading you in the 1960s.
So I want to go way back there, though, right? So probably not, you know, we can't talk about the part before you were born, Dan. But I want to go back because I want people to understand, people who might try this year to follow the Celtics from the beginning, the full history, right? The rich history of this team. So I'm going to start with you, Bob Ryan. You recently posted in social media a picture of the first ticket to the first game you ever went to. Bill Russell was playing. Give us a little bit of that history. Help us understand who he is and this rich Boston Celtics history. And I might have lost Bob Ryan there, which is, this is a cliffhanger for you folks. We didn't do it on purpose, but we're going to treat it like one. So I'm going to do the second piece. I'm going to do the second piece now with Dan Dane while we work to get Bob Ryan back. So Dan Shaughnessy, another famous Boston Globe sports reporter, compares the guy who is the sort of the general manager for the Boston Celtics right now, a guy named Brad Stevenson, who coached for a while, to Red Auerbach. Right? Is he the next Red Auerbach? So I want people to understand that there was this time in Boston Celtics history where there were these thunderous competitions on the East Coast and West Coast. Boston Celtics, LA Lakers, Red Auerbach was larger than life. We've actually got a little bit of sound here from HBO's doing a series. We've got Michael Chiklis playing Red Auerbach. Let's just hear a little bit of this.
Championships on one. The taking. By men like me, who cut your heart out and still sleep like a baby for one more banner in the rafters. Because I don't want to win. I need to.
So the legacy of these championship teams, Dan, just tell us a little bit about that. And then I think we're going to be able to bring Bob Ryan back in. There's the legacy of these championship teams.
Yeah, so just really quickly, Celtics are founded in 1946 in the predecessor league to the NBA. That league merges to create with another league to create the NBA. So Celtics are an original franchise. They're not very successful until Arnold Red Auerbach is hired by Walter Brown in 1950. His first year, he turns the Celtics around from a last place team to a second place team featuring Bob Cousy and a guy named Easy Ed McCauley, who becomes a Hall of Famer. But they never can quite get over the top until 1956 when he trades Ed McCauley and the rights to Cliff Hagan to St. Louis Hawks for the number two pick in the NBA draft, which they use on Bill Russell. He also drafts Casey Jones in the second round, and he gets Tom Heinsohn for territorial rights out of Holy Cross. He brings in these three new players, and over the next 13 years, the Celtics win 11 championships. Auerbach coaches for 11 of them. The last two championships are coached by Bill Russell, who was the first African-American head coach in the NBA. Lots of other milestones in terms of race relations for the Celtics. 1950, Red Auerbach drafts the first African-American player in the NBA, Chuck Cooper, in the 1950 draft. 1963, he starts the first all African-American starting five in the NBA. So really an important history for the Boston Celtics.
Okay, so there's our baseline. Bob Ryan, we have you back.
Yes, I hope so.
Okay, now root us in that tradition. So Bill Russell is widely considered. So Howard Bryant, ESPN journalist, will often say, "I don't like to talk about goats. I don't like rankings, but if I had to, it's Bill Russell, greatest of all time." You've seen him play. How do you draw the line from that to what we're looking at in today's team, Bob Ryan?
Well, they set the tone. They are the established milestone. They're the standard of excellence. They're the ones that you want to. They form the club that all subsequent teams want to join, this championship club, with 11 of their 17 championships coming in that 13-year period, thanks to Bill Russell. And just as I quickly want to tell you just how extraordinary Bill Russell's impact on American sport was, from 1955 until 1969, Bill Russell competed for 16 championships, two NCAA, one Olympic gold in 1956 in Melbourne, and 13 NBA championships. Oh, it just so happened his teams won 14 of those 16. I don't think it was a coincidence. He is the greatest documented winner in North American team sport history. There is no argument. Everyone else is tied for second place. Now, athletically, he was a man so far ahead of his time, it's almost incomprehensible how athletically gifted he was. That they talk about how the improvement in athleticism is what earmarks all sports right now. I can assure you that if Bill Russell were airlifted back into the NBA today, exactly as he was, the same physical specimen with the same mental acuity, which was superior to everyone else's, he would lead the league in rebounding and box shots every year.
All right, period. So that is fantastic. Now, so again, what we're doing is trying to set you up so that, yes, if you want to follow the Celtics this year, you can, because this is a year where they could take a banner. And now Daniel Dane and Bob Ryan have given us a sense of the legacy that these new players, this year's players, some new, some not new, are playing under. So I want you to picture the giant shadow of Bill Russell standing over the TD Garden and looming. And now we're going to bring in two players. First, we have a player named Jason Tatum. Here's a little sound.
Sidestep, puts up another three. Bang! The Tatum tornado continues. He's got 41.
Okay, the Tatum tornado. Jason Tatum, arguably the best player on this team. What does he... Okay, so people can watch him. He's got zero on the back. He wears a fade. He's like the guy, Bob Ryan. Is he the guy? Is he the guy that can now take the Boston Celtics to a championship team? And what should people watch for? Like, somebody's going to watch the game tonight. They don't really know basketball. The high drama, is it, can he lead? Does he make enough points? What can somebody watch for?
Well, he has a range of skill. They will see him score. He will score a minimum of 20 points a game. Probably the over-under for him in a night is 25. He will rebound. He will rebound 8 to 10 to 12 rebounds. He has improved his passing. He is an excellent defender. He is 6 feet 10, arguably, maybe no more, maybe 6'9 and a half, maybe 6'11 minus, but he's in that range. He's extraordinarily athletic and gifted, and he makes the game look very easy. The thing about him is that he's now he has to accept the responsibility of being the best player and speaking up a little more. He has to be a little more forceful. It's not his natural inclination as a personality to be a leader. He's trying to grow into that, and he is trying. So but he is the most gifted 6'10 skilled player they've ever had. So what about Larry Bird? Well, that's a whole other story. But if he reaches Larry Bird's level of toughness, mental toughness, then it's going to be ridiculously good. But he is not quite there yet.
Okay, so two things. First, for people who don't follow basketball, 6'10 still tall, yes?
It's yes, it is.
And
no, it's a good question.
Because we have a new guy, Kristaps Porzingis, who's like 7'3".
Yes, and he's a prototype modern big man in that he has small man skills. He is 7'3", but his number one asset is that he can shoot the basketball from distances up to including 3-point shots. He is a hybrid. He can act as a big man when he needs to, and he can act as a smaller man when he needs to. This is the new the new NBA. This is, and he's a Latvian, which is another there are 125 international players on NBA rosters to start this season. And this is the way the game is truly global. But he is a skilled guy, and he's motivated now. This is his fourth team. He went from New York to Dallas to Washington, and he's still young. And he's eager to show the world, you know, how good he is.
Okay, and so for listeners at home, here's what I want you to understand about that. The Boston Celtics traded a much-beloved player named Marcus Smart, in part to get Kristaps Porzingis. So the big 7'3" Latvian, if you're watching tonight, you'll know who he is. He's a 7'3" Latvian on the court. We traded a very, very beloved leader on the team for this guy. So watch for that. Okay, so now I'm going to turn to Dan Dane, again, the historian of Boston here, and we're going to talk about there are two Jays on the team. We've just been talking with Bob Ryan about Jason Tatum. We're going to talk a minute about Jaylen Brown now, and it's worth noting he just got an incredible contract, the biggest contract in NBA history, $340 million. And he's on the court, but he also says that he wants to use that money to end the racial wealth gap here in Boston. Here's what he said after signing the contract last summer.
With the biggest financial deal in NBA history, it makes sense to talk about, one, your investment in community, but two, also, you know, the wealth disparity here that nobody wants to talk about. It's top five in the U.S. It's something that we can all improve on. It's unsettling. You asked me what I wanted to do or what I want to do. One, I want to, you know, attack that wealth gap here in Boston, create a project. Also, I want to help stimulate the overall economy, and I want to bring Black Wall Street here to Boston.
Okay, when I say last summer, I mean literally just this past summer. I did reverse my numbers. It's 304, not 340. Although, Dan Dane, at that point, I feel like we're into funny money range. But it is interesting to watch a player on the court, but also off the court. You just talked about the incredible social problems and, you know, affordability, et cetera, that we're struggling with. How much should our listeners who want to follow this team this year care about investments from an athlete in this city off the court?
Jaylen Brown is part of a long tradition of Boston Celtic players who've been outspoken about issues in their communities and have done something about it. And it really goes back to Bill Russell, who was really one of the first American athletes who used the platform of being an athlete to try to affect social justice change. And Bill Russell was joined by Tom Satch Sanders and the Celtics in the 1960s, notably in the, you know, after the 2008 season when Kevin Garnett joined the Celtics. Kevin Garnett was very outspoken, and Jaylen Brown really continues that tradition. And it's a platform to try to affect social change. You know, it's really great that he's using that platform and the commitment the Celtics have made to him in the community to try to build that relationship.
All right. So, Bob Ryan, back to you at the Boston Globe. Actually, we lost Bob Ryan again. So, listen, I don't think we're going to have time to get him back, but I just want to say how cool it was to be able to have Bob Ryan to kind of lay this out for you. Bob, I didn't get to say goodbye to you, but blowing you a kiss of thanks now. Mwah, that was great. Staying here with you, Dan Dane, the last piece that I want to talk about, are you a pretty big Celtics fan?
I am, yeah,
since okay.
A kid.
So Joe Mazzulla is the other piece that I'm finding fascinating here. We've got this new coach. He comes in as an interim coach last year, young guy, replacing a coach, Ime Udoka, who is suspended in scandal, let go. Joe Mazzulla comes in to replace him, fairly inexperienced, criticized for some of his handling of the coaching in the playoffs, which the Celtics go out, they don't win. Gets the vote of confidence as the permanent head coach. But Brad Stevens, the sort of the general manager for the team, also brings in a lot of experienced assistant coaches. It'll be interesting to watch the sidelines and see if Joe Mazzulla embraces the wisdom. In our remaining 30 seconds, will he embrace the wisdom or buck it, do you think?
I think he was a little constrained last year because he was working with assistants that had been hired by Ime Udoka. And so having assistants that he played a role in hiring, people that he has confidence in, people like Chauncey Billups, who are, highly experienced, Sam Cassell, who are highly experienced that he has a trust of, I think will really make a big difference in terms of his coaching.
So you think having his own people is going to make a big difference?
I do, yes.
All right. Dan Dane. What a trooper. Thanks for staying and doing some sports with us, too.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's been great. So listen, do come back tomorrow. Here's what's going to happen. Today, the Boston City Council is going to vote on that ordinance for mass and cast that we've been talking with Mayor Michelle Wu about. It's going to go one way or the other. By tomorrow, we'll know. We'll bring you the results and what it means for the area. So come back and join us for that tomorrow. For now, that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. We're produced by Amanda B. Land, Kyrie Thompson, and Rob Lane. Marquise Neal is our senior technical director. Yasmin Ammer is our executive producer. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks so much for listening. And again, do join us tomorrow for more Radio Boston.